Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown, and today is Tuesday, October 29th, 2013. From now on, the show is on www.blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. There's a new call-in number, and that number is 646-595-2831. That should be on the top of your screen right now, although there was a lady on the cruise who doesn't have a computer, if you can believe that, and wants to listen to the radio show, and that's the number you can call in if you don't want to use a computer. Call in that number. Just for housekeeping purposes to get this started, we shift from Joy Cafe Network, which Shannon closed, and now I'm on this, which is my own or all by myself or whatever you want to call it. I'm Jim Brown. I've been a professional motivational speaker for 22 years. Currently, I speak on cruise ships predominantly. I've facilitated board retreats, written 3 books. The first one was called A Rose Garden Living in Concert with Spirit. The second one, or third one, I should say, was called Spiritual Breadcrumbs from the Universe. And in between, I co-authored a book with Jack Canfield, which is a chicken soup guy, Getting Things Done, Keys to a Well-Balanced Life. Now, all these books are available on Amazon, and they're all available there as ebooks. Also, I'm a life coach, and if you're interested in any of that, which is coaching or speaking or books or washing your windows, whatever, I am at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. That's jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Now, I've taken all the shows that I did on the Joy Cafe Network and copied them onto, blogtalkradio.com, Jim Brown Speaker. So you should be able to scroll down the page you're on now and see all the shows on Joy Cafe Network. They're there too. Also, most of them are on iTunes, if you want to go there on iTunes as podcasts. And if you go into, what is that video one? YouTube. Some of them are on YouTube. At any rate, let's get started. You are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. My goal every week is to bring more love, more joy, more happiness, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. Each week, I ask you to listen to this show with one goal, and that would be, what's the most important thing that you take out of the show and you can implement into your daily life? At the end, I'll ask that question. Obviously, you're not going to answer once again, but you answer to yourself. The call-in number is 646-595-2831. Since Thursday is Halloween, I decided that today's show would be on taking our mask off. Most of us present a public figure, not who we are, but who we want people to think we are. And that's usually different than who we really are. And the problem we have is that we've been vulnerable in the past, and every one of us has had our heart broken. And then we guard ourselves real close so our heart won't be broken. We're going to take a look at how we can use our intuition to know when it's safe to be ourselves and when to pull back. Before I get into that, I want to talk more a bit about what's happened since I talked to you last. And the major thing was that I spoke on the Star Princess on the cruise from Los Angeles to Hawaii and back, and have talked to a number of people on the ship and believe and hope that you're listening to me now. So I say to Barb and Bob, I hope all things went well with your sister, Barb. And another one that I want to talk about is Patty. And Patty lives here in the Southern California area. And Patty's got an adult son who had cancer surgery while she was on the cruise and is going to need more cancer surgery. So I'm going to ask everybody out there, if you send Patty your love and your prayers, and if you have any thoughts that you want to convey to her because you or somebody you love is going through this and you want to let her know that she's not alone, email those to me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com, and I'm going to forward them on to Patty. So we did 10 shows on the cruise and want to share some of the things that happened with them. But before I do that, let's go to our opening quote. Nothing is worth your unhappiness, not because the awful and the ugly don't happen, but because there's always more of the really good stuff. Let me repeat that. That's Mike Dooley, and his emails are called The Universe. Nothing is worth your unhappiness, not because awful and ugly things don't happen, but because there's always more of the really good stuff. Point being, focus on the really good stuff. Now, for those of you who have been with me this year, I start the show with a funny email, and I did it on the cruise ship and do three or four on the cruise ship, and boy, oh boy, is that fun, because I can hear and see you on the cruise ship when I sit here. I don't know if you're laughing or what you're saying. But anyway, my friend said that he pretends that you're laughing, and he laughs like it's him. This is called Medicare coverage in a nutshell. The phone rings, and the lady of the house answers. Hello? Mrs. Sanders, please. Speaking. Mrs. Sanders, this is Dr. Jones at St. Agnes Laboratory. When your husband's doctor sent his biopsy to the lab last week, a biopsy from another Mr. Sanders arrived as well. We are now uncertain which one belongs to your husband. Frankly, either way, the results are not good. What do you mean? Mrs. Sanders said nervously. Well, one of the specimens tested positive for Alzheimer's, and the other one tested positive for HIV. We can't tell which is which. That's dreadful. Can you test them again? Questioned Mrs. Sanders. Normally we can, but Medicare will only pay once for these expensive tests. Well, then what am I supposed to do now? Well, the folks at Medicare recommend that you drop your husband off somewhere in the middle of town. If he finds his way home, don't sleep with him. You're laughing! Oh, well, who knows. Anyway, the first thing that amazed me on the Star Princess was that there were, I'd say, four or five couples that came to every program, and they were married anywhere from 55 to 60-plus years. And it really shocked me because I thought, you know, people married that long, they're pretty well, this is the way they're going to do it, and, you know, their life is set the way it is. And we met some amazing people who have been married a long, long time. I just mentioned two couples celebrated their 60th anniversary on the cruise, and one was John and one was a tall guy that used to be 6'9", now is 6'6", forget his name, and their wives, obviously. And then I met a couple from Canada, brother and sister, and their spouses. The brother has been married 66 years, and his sister has been married 65 years. Then we met Irving and Sonia, who live in Pacific Palisades here in the Southern California, Los Angeles area. And they'll be married 72 years on Valentine's Day. And they're sharp as a tack and great fun. So all the programs were videotaped. People would watch the show in the room, and the last day on the cruise, one lady saw me and she said, "You must be exhausted. You've been on television day and night for the last 2 weeks." And then another lady gets in the elevator and looks at me and points at me and says, "Speaker!" But it's a lot of fun to play with people. And that's my whole thing in life, and that is to play with people. And I hope to play with you, and we'll continue our game of playing, and hopefully what you're going to get from me is that, you know, life is just too short. And we need to play. We need to have fun. We need to laugh. We all, every single human being that's ever lived, we all have problems. So we got to learn how to live with each other. We got to learn how to deal with each other's problems. We got to learn how to deal with our own problems. And we just got to decide what the priority is in life. Now, I spent probably 4 or 5 hours talking to people after the programs. And do this frequently on the cruise ships. And like I've mentioned before, we do 1 or 2 cruises a year that I speak on. And there were several people that I talked to that they were describing the situation, which I'll refer to as our story. And our story is who we believe we are. And Michael Beckwith was the first one I heard this phrase from probably 15 years ago. And what he said is, if you argue for your limitations, they are yours. And what I saw was people who were arguing that they were a victim and that their life couldn't change. Now, this is my interpretation, that their life couldn't change. This is the way it's always been. And what my sense was about it, because this it happened too many times for me to ignore, and I had to sit and think and try and connect the dots. Remember when we were kids and, you know, we'd paint by numbers? Well, that's what I try to do. And what I figured out is happening is our story, whatever our story is, who we are, what we do, all those things, that becomes our identity. If we're a mother, if we're a pharmacist, if we're a doctor, if we're a speaker, that's our identity. That's who we are. And we're accustomed to that. And we grow along, and we may not be happy with our life, but we're familiar with it. Now, you need to get that we're familiar with what's going on in our life. And that familiarity, in many instances, stops us from changing to become the person we are. Primarily because we function from a mathematical equation that says, hey, yesterday I couldn't do this, yesterday I was a victim, so today I'm a victim, and if I was a victim yesterday, that meant I was a victim my whole life, and if I'm a victim today, that means I'm going to be a victim for the rest of my life. And I come along and I say, here's the tools, here's what I want to give you. I want to give you your power back. And I want to say that you don't have to give your power away anybody the rest of your life. And I lay that present, that gift, in front of you. Now you have to pick it up. You have to put down the mask of I'm a victim. Poor me. Life has always screwed me. And it goes on and on. And I've been through this myself. So, you know, I'm not talking to you anything that doesn't relate to me. So the challenge here is to say, are you ready to put down your story, to put down your identity? In other words, your costume, your mask, are you ready to take it off and become the person you want to be? This is a question only you can answer. The other thing that I try to do with people is to teach them to love themselves. And I'll talk about it a little bit, but, you know, repeating things is fine, because I don't know anybody who gets everything the first time. And that is to look in the mirror, look into your eyes, look through your eyes into your heart and into your soul, and say, I love you. You're beautiful. Now, the problem we have is that we may not think we're beautiful because of our body. We may not think we're beautiful because of our history. We may not think we're beautiful because somebody else told us. And all those are limiting beliefs. So the challenge for you is to look into your eyes and say, you don't have to do anything to deserve to be loved. You're beautiful the way you are. And you got to say that until you can believe it. Because we are all human beings. Yet, most all of us believe that we're human doings. And I have to do something to be lovable. And my mistakes make me unlovable. Well, if that's the case, then nobody in all of human history can ever be lovable. Let all that go. Let it go. How do you let it go? Real simple. Take a pen, hold it in your hand, hold your hand out straight with your elbow straight out, and let that pen be letting go. Oh, for a few minutes, it won't matter, maybe 5, 10, 20 minutes, half hour. Sooner or later, your arm is going to throb so bad, you have to let that go. The challenge and the choice is yours. Now, one of the other programs I did was on worry. And I define worry as paying interest on a loan you never got and praying for something you don't want. Well, it turned out in this particular program that there were probably 7 or 8 people in the audience who have adult children who have physical and mental handicaps or mental handicaps. And as soon as somebody shared that, I don't have that problem. And I look at worry as probably the least productive thing a human being can do. And for me, it's my question is, I challenge you to find one person who has solved one problem by worrying about it. So what did I just say? Solving a problem. Okay, that's different than worrying about something. Whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, we got to look at this and we got to say, we have a problem and I don't know how to solve it. What does that mean? I need to do research. I need to have help. I need to get help. We're here together. Hillary Clinton wrote a book years ago. I never read the book, but it was It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. Well, it takes a community for all of us to take care of each other. Those are a couple things I wanted to share with you before I got into this. And, you know, moms worry a lot. And my sister Sue, when I did the show for Mother's Day, she sent me a little email, and it basically said, "Dear child, I have worried about you before you were born and will worry about you until the day I die. Get used to it. Love, Mother." The show that people love the most was the Forgiveness Show. Now, those of you who have been with me this whole year know we've done 5 programs on forgiveness. Many of the people in the audience asked for that guided meditation. And the guided meditation can be on forgiveness can be downloaded on the current website, blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker, and go down to February 5th. And just download that, and you got the forgiveness meditation. If you want the self-forgiveness meditation, that was recorded on February 3rd. So we have 2 forgiveness meditations. One is February 3rd for self-forgiveness, and the second one is February 5th for forgiveness. I mentioned earlier that all the shows on the Joy Cafe Network are on this site as podcasts, and most of them are on iTunes. And what shocked me, I just switched these shows over, I think Thursday or Friday, or not switched them, I duplicated them, copied them, and there have been over 200 downloads in the last 4 days of just 2 shows. The one on my funniest emails, or my funniest stories, and the other one on what love is and what love isn't. So let's get started. We're talking about taking your mask off. So being who you are is not a one-time event. It's a process. And my suggestion is that we begin the process by taking our mask off for and in front of the person you love and trust the most. So you want to get, used to that. Put your toe in the water. Don't dive into the deep end. Now, taking your mask off is going to require that you have the courage to be vulnerable. Now, we've all tried to be vulnerable, and we've all gotten hurt. So if the name of the game is I'm not going to do anything that puts me at risk for being hurt, then today may as well be the last day of your life, because life is filled with risk. And I'm a firm believer in the adage, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Go out there, live your life, love, be happy, be outrageous, so that when today is your last day, you're saying, wow, I don't have any regrets about my life. I did what I wanted to do. I was who I wanted to be. I had a friend who passed away in May, and her name is Donna, and I went to a medium, and the medium brought her in, and Donna said, I didn't live my life. I just existed. Well, to me, let us take up that statement from Donna and let us make sure that when we finish our life, we are never going to say that. We're never going to say, I didn't live my life, I just existed. Don't live your life in fear of what other people are going to say about you, talk about you. They're going to say things about you no matter what you say, no matter what you do. It doesn't make a bit of difference. You got to start by loving yourself enough to let other people who see you, let them in. Don't let fear run your life. We're all going to be hurt. You know, that's going to happen. Accept that as a given part of life. But don't let it paralyze you. Don't let it stop you. Before you, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, about the mirror, and that is, you know, stand in front of the mirror, look at yourself, look through your eyes and your heart and soul, and see that that's where your beauty comes from. Let this beauty shine from the inside out. Allow the rest of us to see who you really are. And on behalf of all of us, I thank you in advance for the amazing gift that you're going to give us. Taking your mask off requires that you have a lot of good self-esteem. And self-esteem, the definition I like the best, is the reputation you have with yourself. And in order to lift your reputation, you may have to forgive yourself for some of the things that you've said and you've done that you haven't let go of. So as I just mentioned a minute ago, go back to the guided meditation on forgiveness. And oopsie, that was dated February 3rd. I've used Terry Cole Whitaker's book title many times, What You Think of Me is None of My Business. So as you venture out, as you think, okay, I'm going to take my mask off, Jim, you got to say, what you think of me is none of my business. I got to be me. That's what Sammy Davis Jr. is saying. I got to be me. Go out there. Be yourself. Don't be somebody else. The derivation of the mask came from Venice, and it came in around 1280-something, where the Prince of Venice wanted to walk around Venice and find out what people were saying about him without them knowing that it was him walking around. So he put a mask on so nobody would know who he was. Go out there, be yourself. Don't be afraid to be yourself. If you're not going to be you, who are you going to be? There's only one person that can be you, and that's you. So stop walking around life with a mask on, pretending to be somebody else. So now you got your mask off. Let's make a bucket list of the things we want to do and see. Put it on a refrigerator. Put it in your bathroom. And let that be the map for your life. What do you want your life to be about? What is your reputation? What is your legacy? We see that all the time about presidents in the United States. It seems that all they want is their legacy. Not sure I agree with how they go about it, but that's neither here nor there, and I don't want to be in politics, and we're not going to talk about politics. Very good. Thank you. Next. I've talked to you, and I'm sure I've said before that in the years that I've been speaking, the number one lesson that I've gotten is that I can play with everybody. And everybody plays back with me. So I'm going to go through some of my favorite games that I play with people, because it's me. It's going out there. It's being me. And by being me, and you can't be me, and the National Speakers Association taught me that be yourself. You can't be anybody else. Just be yourself. Babies are the best. I go up to, usually it's a mom with their baby in the grocery store. I see them all the time. And if they're little bitty babies, I talk to them. And the moms, more often than not, will say, thanks for stopping and talk to us. And if it's a little bigger kid and they're in the basket, I'll say, which aisle did you get that beautiful girl on? I want one just like that. Well, you know how that makes mom feel. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we could interact as adults with each other the way we interact with babies? We don't have any problem talking to babies, do we? We don't have any problem going up to them and saying, oh, my God, you're so cute. I love your hair. And the baby smiles. And we can do that with each other. We really can. But we can't buy into this crap that we have to be afraid of each other because that person is going to do this or that person is going to do that. That's the media that's taught us that we live in a world that's run by fear. Now, you get to choose whether you're going to live in a world that's run by fear or your world, which is all that exists, then that's your world. There is no such thing as the world. None of us can comprehend what the world is. I've been to 100 countries, and I don't have a clue of what the world is. So I had to totally eliminate that and reduce it down to my world. And you get to define what your world looks like every day. And you get to look for what you want in your world because you're going to see exactly what you're looking for. So what do you want to see in people? What do you want to see in yourself? What do you want to see in life? Those are all your choices. And remember, choices are an infinite supply. No matter what choice you make, if you don't like it, you can choose again and again and again and again until you get where you make a choice that say, I like this. This is fun. This is good. It doesn't matter what people think about me. It doesn't matter what people say about me. I'm being me. I'm being true to myself. So that if today is my last day, I can say, I lived my life. I didn't live it for other people. I lived it for myself. Now, granted, we have to live with other people, and that's another subject. But getting back to the babies. If the baby is between a year and 3 years old, approximately, I'll ask the mom if I can share with you the four gifts that your baby gives to you. And that can be grandmother, it can be dad, whoever. Number one, they love you unconditionally. Number two, they forgive and they forget. Number three, they have no concept of failure. And number four, everything they do is an adventure. Then I pause and say, what would your life be like if you could love unconditionally, if you could forgive and forget, if everything you did was an adventure, and you have no concept of failure? Wouldn't be hard to live life without a mask on, would it now? After I go through those four items twice, then I say, who is here to teach who what or whom what? We're here to teach them to be critical, to be judgmental, to be withholding, to be fearful. Or are they here to teach us how to love unconditionally, how to forgive and to forget, how to see everything we do as an adventure, and how to do things without any concept of failure? Think about it. Next thing I like to do is to compliment people. See, women with their hair dress, their hair combed beautifully, and if there's a man with them, I'll say, sir, are you her hairdresser? She has her own personal hairdresser. Love to do that on the ship. People loved it. The way people dress. You look at the way a person dresses. and a woman has shoes and purse and hat the same color as her outfit, or glasses the same color as her top. And I'll ask them, do you have a different pair of glasses for every outfit you have, or do you have a hat for every outfit you have, or a purse for every outfit? Some do. And they really appreciate being recognized that somebody is paying attention and seeing what it is that they're, you know, they're using all that energy and effort to, to put their stuff together. Well, let me tell the story then. My point is that, you know, what could be more fun than interacting with people and making them feel better about themselves? Now, we never know what impact anything we say or do has on another person. And that's the reason that I am saying do it. Couple of stories from Chicken Soup for the Soul. And one, the first one is about a freshman in high school who's walking home from school, and some other kids bump into him, and he drops all his books. It's a Friday afternoon, and he's on his hands and knees picking his books up. And another freshman comes along, bends over, helps him pick up the books, walks home with him. Turns out that the first boy was bringing all his books home because he planned on committing suicide, and he didn't want to have his mother have to go back to school and clean out his locker. This other boy befriended him, and when they were seniors, the first boy was a valedictorian in class. He told that story, and he said, because this, let's just call the guy's name Jim, because Jim befriended me, I didn't have to commit suicide. Now, in a million years, would you imagine that you stopping and helping somebody pick up their books or pick something up would have stopped them from committing suicide? You reaching out and loving them, extending a hand of friendship. As I said earlier, we all have problems, and we're all here to take care of each other. We're all here to help each other out. Another story in a Chicken Soup book was about a man who bought a church in Brooklyn, and he was getting it ready for Christmas services. And it rained like on the 20th of December, and the roof leaked. And there was a water stain on the coming down the whole wall, and he happened to be walking down the street, and there was a resale store on the same block, and he saw a tablecloth, and he figured the tablecloth was just about the right size to cover the hole or cover the stain. So he brings it back, and as he brings it back, there's a lady standing at the bus stop, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, you know, you just missed the bus, and the next bus won't be here for an hour. Why don't you come and wait in the church where it's warm until the next bus comes?" And she sits in the church, and he goes to put the tablecloth up on the wall, and she looks at the tablecloth, and she comes up to him, and she says, "Are the letters EBS in the lower right-hand corner there?" And he looks at it, and he said, "Yeah." She said, "That was my tablecloth I made when we lived in Austria in 1938. And my husband sent me ahead, and he was supposed to meet me in 2 weeks, and I've never seen him since." He said, "Let me take you home." He takes her home. He comes back. He does the Christmas service. Everybody loves the Christmas service. He's outside talking to everybody. They're telling him how wonderful it was. And he goes back in, and there's a man sitting in the front, totally quiet. And he says, "Sir, how did you like the service?" He says, "It was fine." He says, "But that tablecloth on the wall reminds me of a tablecloth we had like that. And my wife made that tablecloth, and I see that it has the initials EBS on it. And I sent her ahead in Austria, and I was supposed to join her 2 weeks later, and I've never seen her since." And the minister said, "Sir, come with me." He gets in the car. He takes her over to the woman's apartment. And they're reunited after over 34 years apart. Now, what would have happened if that man wouldn't have taken the time to stop and say, "Ma'am, come on in my church"? My point is, reach out and help people. You don't know what's going to happen. Next thing is, let me see how much I have to go here. I think I got time where we could do my minute and a half little music thing. So I'm going to give you a minute and a half, and I'll be right back. Okay, so the next item I have here to talk about is for each of us to accept responsibility for our words and actions. Every one of us say and do stupid things. The responsibility on our part is to make them right. We need to apologize and let it go. I think I have it listed here a little bit further down, but it's better to be happy than to be right. And the challenge here is we have to stop allowing our ego to run our life or to ruin our life. And as I've said many times before, I define my ego as that part of myself whose responsibility it is to keep my life in a constant state of chaos. So when you do something, and we've all done it, we've all said it, and, you know, it goes out of your mouth, you go, "Oh, no, make it right." You talk to people who lost somebody. Dorothy at the gym has an on and off again relationship with her daughter, and Dorothy had pneumonia in January, and I guess it was off again time with her daughter, and her daughter said, "Oh, don't let mother die while I'm not talking to her." Well, there's, you know, that's kind of ironic, but you know what I'm saying, and that is, if there is somebody in your life that you aren't talking to, let's make it right. Let's let it go. Let's stop. The next thing I have here is to forgive yourself and to forgive others. And we know that forgiveness is releasing the emotional attachment to the event. And I've had a situation in my life in the last week where I'm having to do this. And I'm having to send this person love from my heart to her heart every single day. And I will continue to do that. And I've listed the things that I created this for to teach me. And have divorced myself from the emotion of wanting to get into the who's right, who's wrong type of thing and blah, blah, blah. And the initial reaction was that there was pain and then, well, let's lash out. And then I was able to go into meditation and get that I can make a big thing out of it or nothing. And the word again is choice. The choice is mine. What do I want to make of it? Is it time to move on? Boom. Then let's move on. Let's move on to the next chapter of our life. Now, we never know, again, when we're interacting with people and we're being real with people, we never know when somebody's having a bad day. Take, for example, a little guy sitting at a bar, just staring at his drink for half an hour. And a big bad biker steps in next to him, grabs his drink, gulps it down in one swig, turns to him with a menacing stare and says, "What you going to do about it?" Poor little guy starts crying. "Come on, man, I was just giving you a hard time," the biker said. "I didn't think you'd cry. I can't stand to see a man crying." Guy says, "This is the worst day of my life. I couldn't do anything right. I overslept. I was late to an important meeting, so my boss fired me. When I went out into the parking lot, I saw my car had been stolen. I didn't have insurance. I left my wallet in the cab that took me home. I get into the house. I find my wife in bed with the gardener, and my dog bit me. So I came to this bar trying to work up enough courage to put an end to my life. And then you show up and drink the damn poison." Okay. I hope you're through laughing. If you accept yourself the way you are, then you have the freedom to be yourself, and you're not concerned with what other people think of you. Of all the tens of thousands of people I've spoken to, either live or on the radio, never once has anybody said what they expect of me. The only chance I have to impact you is to be who I am in my mind, and which that then gives me, you permission to like me or not. I know not all of you are going to like me. I know that the only people who are going to listen to the show are the people who are going to like me. And if you don't like the show, you're just going to stop listening. Not a problem. Same thing when people come to my program on a ship. They're coming there. They're at sea. And very few people take cruises to be at sea. They want to go to the ports on the cruise. And they come in. They're looking for something to do. They sit down. They like it. They stay. They don't like it. They get up and go. When I first started doing that 18, 19 years ago on cruise ships, that used to upset me. I've been doing it at conventions, and at conventions they're there to have their get their continuing education credit, so they can't leave. But the point is that the only chance I have to impact anybody is to be who I am. And if I'm who I am, that's when I can get to you. And I accept that some of you aren't going to like it. And you got to get that way with yourself. No matter what you say or no matter what you do, not everybody's going to like it. Remember that you're the only person that God has ever created that he gave the gifts that he gave to you. And my point of view or my thinking or opinion is that God's asking us only one question. And that question would be, would you please share these unique gifts with everybody you come in contact with? Choice is yours. A Course in Miracles asks a question. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And when I ask that to you and you're in an audience, most of you will say you'd rather be happy. Now, there's a few that say they'd rather be right. And I'm one of those who believes that I'd rather be happy. And yet, at the same time, Rosemary is my master electrician, and she wired every one of my buttons and knows exactly where they are. Rosemary, for those of you who are new, is my wife of 46 years, and on this cruise I felt like a newlywed compared to those people married 56. Oh, incidentally, Ron at the gym celebrated his 56th anniversary last week. Congratulations to Ron. And so I go, I lost my point. Uh-oh. I want to be happy, and yet at the same time, I get caught up with Rosemary and start getting into that being right. And my challenge constantly, and I think that's each one of our challenges, is not to get sucked into that energy. That energy is like a huge vacuum cleaner. It can just suck you right in before you even know. And the question and the challenge is it worth it? Again, if we're backing up and we're looking at our whole life, is it worth it? You all remember the poem or the prayer Footprints, where the guy is having a dream and he looks up in the sky in the night and he sees all the scenes of his life. And he looks and sees two sets of footprints, and over there he sees the last scene of his life and he only sees one set of footprints, and he says, "Hey, God!" Or then he also saw that all of his other were really hard times of his life, so there was only one set of footprints. He says, "Hey, God, you promised me if I followed you, you'd take care of me, and yet every time there's a hard part in my life, there's only one set of footprints. Did you abandon me?" And God says, "No, honey. You see, when you only see one set of footprints, that's when I carried you." So take a minute. Close your eyes. Climb up on God's back. Wrap your arms around his chest. Wrap your legs around his waist. And know that he will carry you through everything. Let's just focus on being happy. That's the gift he gave to us. That's part of our inheritance. That's part of our birthright. To be happy. And to be happy, we don't have to be right. Take your mask off and say, "Hey, all I want to do is to be happy. What's the big deal about being right?" I may have told you before that when I was 39, I was an assistant hospital administrator. And the administrator came to me and he said, "Hey, Jim," he says, "on your tombstone it's going to be written, 'He was always right.'" And I went, "Whoa, is that cool or what?" Having no idea that he was actually chastising me. I never remember that word. What's the word? Counseling me. He was actually counseling me. Nobody wants to work with somebody or live with somebody that's always right. Being right is way overrated. We're not trying to get something technical right. We're trying to live our life in a world with other people, and every single person that we interact with in our entire life is flawed, has problems, has had their heart broken, feels like they're alone, feels like they don't deserve to be loved. And we got to come together and say, "Wait. Let's just play a game. Let's hold hands. We can call the game Ring Around the Rosy. Let's do the dance of life." And the dance of life is filled with joy, is filled with happiness, is filled with being grateful for everything that we have in our life today. The next thing we need to do is to make a conscious effort to minimize the negative self-talk. You'd never talk to anybody else the way you talk to yourself. Again, I come back to the same phrase: love yourself, forgive yourself, and nurture yourself. You see, nobody has ever died from an overdose of love. Nurture yourself. And the most important time there is to nurture yourself is when you're in a stressful situation. And next week, the whole program is going to be on how to minimize the holiday stresses. But the point is you got to nurture yourself. If you aren't going to take care of yourself, who is? If not now, when? When do you stand up and say you are the most important person in the world? When do you stand up and take that mask off and say, "I love you. You're beautiful. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to take care of you because, or I'll take care of myself because I know I deserve to be loved, to be nurtured, to be cherished. And I also know that I will have the greatest positive impact on everybody who comes into my life when I come into that relationship with a full tank of gas," which means that I am not exhausted, I'm not frustrated, I'm not angry, I'm not hostile, I'm not any of those things, but I got to take care of and nurture and love myself first. And when I do that, I am there and the whole me is there to help you deal with whatever you need to deal with in your life. Be there for each other. So, there is only one person who can stop the negative self-talk, and that's you. And the first thing you got to do is to realize the way you're talking about yourself. And start developing affirmations. My book, A Rose Garden Living in Concert with Spirit, has got 78 essays, and each one of the essays has a quote, an essay, an affirmation, and an exercise. And all of the affirmations, because I love affirmations, are duplicated as a appendix in the back of the book. So you go there and you affirm wonderful things about yourself. And don't be questioning, well, why, or this or that. Don't let that doubting Thomas concept ruin and paralyze your life. Next thing I have on my list is to be kind to yourself, particularly when you're in a stressful situation. That's when it's most important. But be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. Nurture yourself. Love yourself. And I think, let me look here, peekaboo. The last one I have is that we've all had our heart broken. It's time to take down the wall that you built around your heart, that you won't allow anybody into your heart because your heart has been broken and because the pain is so intense. You don't want to be vulnerable again. You don't want to expose yourself again. So instead, you build a wall around your heart, you isolate yourself from the rest of life, and you miss out on all of life. The heck with that. Life is about problems. Life is about solving problems. Life is about learning. Life is about mending. Life is about becoming whole again. Life is about Humpty Dumpty. Let's put Humpty Dumpty back on the wall again. Take down the wall that you've built around your heart. Let us back in. And if I'm knocking at the door of your heart, what needs to happen in order for you to open the door and welcome me into your heart, into your life, into your love? You say, I've been burned before. Well, here's what's happened. We all have intuition, and our intuition is our stoplight, so to speak. When everything is going well, our intuition is green. When something is off, it turns yellow. We gotta say, whoa, what's going on here? Whoa, let me back up. Some of us don't see that yellow light, and then we get a red light, and we go right through the red light, and we get into a smashing accident, and then we go, what happened here? We all know what our intuition is. It guides us. It tells us. It's our GPS system. It lets us know what's going on. Bang. We have to pay attention to it. Now you say, I don't know what you're talking about, Jim. Take an example. Go back and you see where you crashed and burned. And then go back in your history file and see when you had a notion. Wait a minute. I remember thinking, I shouldn't have done that. That was your intuition. And I went ahead anyhow. And I ignored my intuition, and now I'm paying this huge price for it. There's a saying, if it's meant to be, it'll be easy. If it's not, it'll be hard. Well, use that as part of your intuition. It should be easy. It should flow. When it starts getting jerky, then it stops flowing. I had a woman come up to me after a program on a cruise, and she said, I don't know what to do. I've been with this man for 2 years. He's a controlling man, and I don't know if I should be with him. I said, close your eyes and go into your heart. Well, she closed her eyes for about a half a second and opened them, didn't go into her heart. And I said, you know what you have to do. You know you have to get rid of him. You know that, and you need to get rid of him as fast as you can. And you knew that. And she said, how did you know? Well, for me, it was pretty simple. If there was no question, then she knew she needed to be with him. Oh, and the comment she made was, well, then I might have to spend the rest of my life alone. And you see the point there of how somebody is settling because they're afraid of having to spend the rest of their life alone, so they'll settle for somebody that's going to control them? and you see how that doesn't work, and it never works, and you're saying, well, that's the only guy that I could ever be attracted to. So the intuition is something that we have to be consciously aware of. I don't know about yours, but mine comes and goes in a nanosecond. And if I'm not paying attention, it's gone. So you need to be focusing consciously on your intuition and allowing yourself to govern your life with your intuition. And that's your protection. That's what's going to say, do this or do that. Wait a minute, stop. It's time to get out of this relationship. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. So that takes us to the end of, let me just check here and see if we have anybody in the chat room. There wasn't before. There isn't now. Okay. So the closing quote for today is, to offer no resistance to life is to be in a state of grace, ease, and lightness. This state is then no longer dependent upon things being in a certain way, good or bad. It seems almost paradoxical. Yet when your inner dependency on form is gone, the general conditions of your life, the outer forms, tend to improve greatly. And this is a quote from Eckhart Tolle, who's written The Power of Now and several other books. Let me move on to our closing story. And today's closing story is called Installing Love on a Human Computer. And this customer calls in and says, I really need some help. After much consideration, I've decided to install love. Can you guide me through the process? The tech says, yes, I can help you. Are you ready to proceed? Customer, well, I'm not very technical, but I think I'm ready to install it now. What do I do? Tech, the first step is to open your heart. Have you located your heart? Customer, yes, I have, but there's several other programs running right now. Is it okay to install it while they're running? What programs are running? Well, let's see. I have pasthurt.exe, lowselfesteem.exe, grudge.exe, and resentment.exe. All of those are running now. Tech, no problem. Love will gradually erase pasthurt.exe from your current operating system. It may remain in your permanent memory, but it will no longer disrupt other programs. Love will eventually overwrite lowselfesteem.exe with a module of its own, which will be called highselfesteem.exe. However, you have to completely turn off grudge.exe and resentment.exe. Those programs prevent love from being properly installed. Can you turn those off? Customer, I don't know how to turn them off. Can you tell me how? Tech, sure. Go to your start menu and invoke forgiveness.exe. Do this as many times as necessary until it's all erased. It's erased all the programs you don't want. Customer says, okay, now love has started installing itself automatically. Is that normal? Tech says, yeah. You should receive a message that says it will stay installed for the life of your heart. Do you see that message? Yes, I do. Is it completely installed? The tech says, yes. But remember, you only have the base program. You need to begin connecting to other hearts in order to get the upgrades. Customer says, oops, I already have an error message. What should I do now? What does the message say, customer? It says, error 412, program will not run on internal components. What does that mean? Tech, don't worry, that's a common problem. It means that the love program is set up to run on external hearts, but has not yet been run on your heart. It is one of those complicated programming things. But in non-technical terms, it means you have to love your own machine. This is Jim now. Yourself before you can love others. Customer says, what should I do? Tech says, can you pull down the directory called self-acceptance? Yes, I have it. Excellent. You're getting good at this. Now, click on the following files, then copy them to My Heart directory. These are the files. Forgiveself.doc, realizeworth.txt, and acknowledgementlimitations.doc. The system will overwrite any conflicting files and may begin patching any faulty programming. Also, you'll need to delete selfcriticism.exe from all directories, and then empty your recycle bin afterward to make sure it is completely gone and never comes back. Customer says, hey, I got it. My hard is starting to fill up with new files. Smile.mp3 is playing on my monitor right now, and it shows that peace.exe and contentment.exe are copying themselves all over my heart. Is this normal? Sometimes. For others, it takes a while, but eventually everything gets downloaded at the proper time. So love is installed and running. You should be able to handle it from here. Ah, one more thing. Yes, says the customer. Love is freeware. Make sure to give it and its various modules to everybody you meet. They will, in turn, share it with other people, and they will return some similarly cool modules back to you. Customer, I will. Thanks for your help. What was the most important thing that you got out of today's show? Think about that story I just told you. Think about your heart. Think about love. Think about peace and smiling and contentment in your heart and sharing your love with other people. Now, when you go to do that, you share the best when you release your expectation for how they're supposed to receive it and or give back. You share it out of the joy of giving the gift of love. Rosemary loves to give people gifts, and we need to be able to do that with our whole life. Love ourselves, love each other, share our love, give our love to other people. That brings us to the end of today's program, so I ask you to join me next Tuesday, which is November 5th, same time. It's 2 o'clock Pacific time. I don't go 2 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, Pacific time. Next week's show, as I mentioned, will be on minimizing holiday stress. And I mentioned earlier that a woman on Star Princess who doesn't have a computer, and she didn't call in today, but you can call in and listen to the show on 646-595-2831. For those of you who have seen me on the ship on the Star Princess, guess what? There's no bingo after the show today or any day on the radio. I conclude, as always, by saying, remember to love yourself. I send love from my heart to your heart. Receive this love and then share it. There is an infinite supply of love. I love you, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.